Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am honored to be your guest on tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I want to thank you for all those promotions. A lot of promotions went out tonight, so thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. This is a very unique call. It's a topic that I've never covered on this call because of the content of the topic. It's one of the most underwritten, talked about, conversed topic, guilt, and how to release and let go of it. So this call is going to have some great content for you. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. So if you're on this call tonight for the first time, congratulations and welcome. I've been hosting this call for going on 18, soon to be 19 years. This call originally started out as late afternoon call, and in 1999, every Tuesday night since, has been at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. On my website, www.goldenmastermind.com, you can find many of my archived calls. Also, podomatic.com, we record this call. It is available every Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard or Pacific Time. So there have been many, many great calls. I've had many great guests. On May 3rd, that is 2 weeks from tonight, I will have Scott Aaron, who is absolutely crushing it with his LinkedIn training. Scott will be my featured guest on this call 2 weeks from tonight. Guests on this call, I've had some exceptional people in my career. Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who will be a guest on my call in the next few months. I also was able to secure a date for Dr. Joe, April 15th of 2017. I've been collaborating with Alexis Romano on a location for that event next year, 2017. I just returned to one of the most beautiful cities in the United States. I have an affinity and a love for the state of Montana, and I want to thank my friend Nicholas Stoddard for hosting me this past Saturday in one of the most beautiful city towns in the United States, Bozeman, Montana. I booked two more events for Montana later this year. This Saturday, I will be in St. Louis, Missouri, one of my favorite hometowns. I spent many, many summers watching St. Louis Cardinal baseball games in the 1960s and 1970s, seeing some of the greatest players in the history of Major League Baseball. It is my privilege and pleasure to be able to be in St. Louis this Saturday from 9 to 4 at the Marriott at the airport. April 30th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. May 14th, I'll be in Long Island, New York. May 21st, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. June 4th, Atlanta, Georgia. June 18th, my first trip to White Plains, New York in over 10 years. July 9th, I'll be back in Bozeman, Montana. July 23rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And July 30th, Los Angeles, California, Marina Del Rey. I regret to inform you that I will not be hosting the Millionaire Blueprint this summer in Las Vegas, Nevada. I just couldn't make the event work in a conducive situation. So I will not be hosting that on August 6th. That is a Millionaire Blueprint event, but I will be doing that event in other locations in the United States. Not this year, but next year I will have at least one, possibly two, Millionaire Blueprints. The first one was Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm in the process of lining up some great internet marketing speakers for an event next year, 2017. And I'm about to launch my recorded live prospecting clinic, Web 2.0 Prospecting Clinic. It will be going out in the next couple of days. I had over 200 people purchase my last prospecting clinic. That prospecting clinic came with its own group. It was a fabulous content and a great situation. So be looking in your email and on Facebook for the Prospecting Clinic 2.0. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great pleasure I bring to you a topic that I've seldom ever conversed with on a call. In December 2014, at a Breakthroughs to Success workshop, myself and Carolyn Olson came up with the idea to put together a group for guilt. That group is now called Guilt Cleanse. It has over 1,000 people that have been able to share their stories with some of the events that have shaped their feelings and which kept them in guilt, shame, and resentment. So if you want to join that group tonight, feel free. It is called Guilt Cleanse, not the. It's called Guilt Cleanse. It is a private group that has great content on events that shape feelings specifically related to guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, and any of the other emotions that keep us doing the same thing over and over and then receiving the same result. Now, on tonight's call, I'm going to cover a topic that gets seldom written about: guilt. Guilt is an emotion also connected to shame. Guilt and shame are not synonymous. They are distinctly different, but there are similar energies. The lowest transmutation of energy that you could possibly be in when it comes to sending a message or sending energy is guilt. Now, if you grew up in a family where guilt was used to control you, or guilt was used to keep you in your place, or any multitude of situations regarding guilt, then there's a high probability that guilt will show up in your emotional state, your identity, and your message, either mixed and or clear. What is guilt? Guilt is an emotion. What does that really mean? Well, guilt comes from guilt and shame are distinctly different. When you've done something very, very bad, you'll typically feel shame because it's something that's been that you did yourself a lot of shame. Guilt is a different energy because oftentimes guilt is done to you, or it's not done by you, it's typically done to you by someone else. Guilt shows up in our family structure frequently, especially around the dinner table, the 20,000 meals we spend with people in our circle of influence. We've been guilted into submission, guilted into letting go of our identities, guilted into situations that does not serve us. If you've ever been in a situation where it's been suggested that if you don't clean your plate, because there are other people in other countries and other situations that aren't receiving quality food, and you've been guilted into that, there's a high probability that guilt then can become an identity, and it can also have an effect on the way that you consume your food. And there's many situations that happen in the family structure that relate to guilt. We may not have a lot of money, but we have a lot of food. Clean your plate. I went to great lengths to put that food on the table for you. You're not going to bed until you clean your plate, till you eat your food. If you had a controlling mother, a controlling passive-aggressive mother, grandmother, family member, someone in your circle of influence that used guilt to control you, then there's a high probability that guilt will show up in your identity. If you're an over-obligator, an angry giver, an enabler, a passive-aggressive producer, a holic, or any type of situation like this, there's a high probability that guilt shows up underneath your emotional state. I know that one of the situations that I went through is I became so productive that I would feel guilty if I took time off. Guilt can show up in many faces, many places, and many spaces. When I say guilt is the lowest transmutation of energy, for the past 10 years I've been studying one of the greatest authors, Dr. David Hawkins. In his breakthrough book, Power Versus Force, he breaks down energetic vibration, cycles per second, and how we transmute our energy. Energy is how we attract people to our reality. But if you are in an overwhelmed state, transmuting energy from your anxiety, which would be anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, circle that, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, you're going to send a mixed message, sending a signal anywhere from 25 cycles a second to a peak at about 200 cycles a second. Now, what does that mean? It means that you will attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your feelings. And if you've been guilty all the time, it will show up in your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. Guilt will also show up prevalently when it comes to your ability to receive, specifically money. But if you've been guilted into believing that people who have money aren't worthy, or people who have money are bad, or people who have money are crooks, then there's a high probability that you will have an anti-money attractor factor, or you'll have challenges attracting people to your reality that you can collaborate with because your feelings associated with money. And if you have any feelings associated with money, specifically about guilt and shame, then there's a high probability that you will attract people to fulfill your feelings that keep you overwhelmed and emotionally intoxicated to an emotional state that keeps you in that space. Now, how do I let go? Well, it's never a how-do. It's a commitment. It is a decision. Events shape our feelings. Feelings become our mood, and mood becomes our identity. But if guilt's been used to keep you in a stuck place, then take a look at the cause that creates the effect and begin to systematically, methodically let go one emotion at a time. Letting go of guilt is not a how do I, it's a commitment, it's a decision. It's no longer living in an overwhelmed state that keeps you guilty. Guilt unequivocally robs you of your energy. If you grow up in a situation that you had to take on a role as a parent or an adult as you were a child, then there's a high probability that you'll be an addicted over-obligator. What does over-obligating mean? It means that you're a multitasker, but you typically take on more than you can handle. You will have challenges associated with saying a two-letter word, no, I can't, I'm not in a position to do that, I can't take that on. You'll have to ask someone else because we feel guilty. Ask yourself on tonight's call, how many of you take on obligations, how many of you take on tasks, how many of you take on situations because you feel guilty? Where does guilt come from? Guilt typically comes from not only the family structure, it comes from society. There's a lot of guilt associated with being wealthy because a lot of people have less than, and why should I have more if people have less than? Well, that's an individual situation that you resolve for yourself. The reality of the situation is, if you live in any metropolitan city, large city or small city, the cost of living will consume most of a check associated with the job. If you have a job will pay you what a job's worth. Unfortunately, most jobs aren't worth a lot. If you make 60, 80, 100,000 plus in a job, then you would be the top tier of the job market. Only about 20% of society achieves more than $80,000 a year. That means most of society is tiptoeing quietly through life, struggling, arriving at their grave safely, living in an overwhelmed emotional state, over-obligated, paying interest on money that doesn't exist, and paying taxes. Most of America's money goes to taxes and interest. And if you're one of these people that has a mortgage, you don't understand your mortgage, and most of your payment goes to your interest, then that's where most of your money goes, is toward interest and taxes. And then you'll struggle, toss and turn, and wonder why you have more month left at the end of the money. And if you have any association with guilt and money, then you've created an anti-money veneer. And if you ever enter a leveraged business where you can create wealth, then you've entered the business in a mixed message. Money is a neutral entity. It's not good or it's bad. Money shows up with people who are skilled. A skilled drug dealer will attract money just like a skilled business owner will attract the people and customers that they can serve just like a skilled drug dealer can do. Money doesn't have a conscience, but your conscience about money will determine who will show up in endeavors where money can be created. But if you have any association with not being good enough, not being worthy, then that's going to be based on events that have shaped your feelings that have you in a very low self-esteem, guilty to succeed. Also, if your family has struggled, there's a high probability that your family will use guilt to control you. How dare you step out of our pain? Now, that may not be the spoken message, but from lots of cultures, if you dare to dream, if you dare to step out of other people's struggle, then the herd mentality will tend to criticize you, friends and family. Now, this is not a black and white situation because some families are very prosperous. Some families don't use guilt to control each other. But many families use guilt to control each other. And this also shows up in why many people don't leave the family structure. In many places around the world, around the United States or wherever you live, there's a tremendous amount of guilt about you leaving the nest, you leaving the pasture, you leaving the herd. If you decide to move to another state, have you ever had someone say to you, "We'll never see you. We're not going to be able to afford to be able to travel. Oh, I can't believe you're taking the grandkids away from me." These are statements that are used to guilt you into submission, guilt you into giving up your identity, or guilt you into forming a new identity, and guilt you into keeping to the same identity that keeps you in a familiar family structure, overwhelmed in guilt and resentment. Now, guilt has a backside called resentment. Resentment is another emotion. If someone uses guilt to control you and you're too guilty to take a stand, confront the situation, then you'll typically stay silent in an unresolved issue, feel guilty, but also feel resentment. You feel you're guilty for feeling guilty, and you're too guilty to confront the situation. You also resent the person and resent yourself for not confronting the situation. This keeps you in a neurochemically overwhelmed state, attracting to your reality people and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem. Guilt is the lowest transmutation of energy. How do I let go of guilt? You let go of guilt the same way you let go of any situation, not by how do I, but why don't I? You get really clear on why you want to let go. You cannot let go of what you stay in denial of. It's very common in my coaching services that people tell me their whole childhood is a blur. I've repressed it. I've suppressed it. I don't remember it. Well, what you're really repressing are the events that shaped your feelings. Do you require therapy? Not necessarily. You require some common sense. You require letting go. You require some understanding, some awareness, and understand that you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your emotional state. So if you're in an emotional state of guilt, understand how you got there. If guilt was used to suppress you, repress you, hold you back, keep you down, keep you eating, keep you stuffing, then isn't it time you learn to let go? When you have a better understanding of cause and effect and you make a simple, subtle decision that says, I'm so done with this, I'm no longer going to do this, the pain is great enough. When you reach that state, then you're no longer the mind-body connection that shaped the feelings that keep you overwhelmed, anxious, guilty, resentful, angry, and in these other situations that keep you doing what you do, not understanding why you attract what you attract. If you're in a network marketing company, a direct sales business, internet marketing, you're creating and selling intellectual property, you require customers, consumers, product users, people who can build a business, affiliate marketers, and other people you can collaborate with. We as souls having human experiences require the interaction required to share love, joy, bliss, and enlightenment with other souls having human experiences. It's that inner game that allows us to connect with people. When we are good enough, when we deserve to receive, when we're capable of asking, when we can carefront and confront situations in a diplomatic forum, when we can let go of the events that no longer serve us, when you develop a reflex called letting go, because letting go is a reflex. If you hold on to situations, then you continue to create a neurochemical feeling based on either an event or a similar event that keeps you overwhelmed, emotionally addicted to the state of being disappointed. And if you're disappointed, there's a high probability you will feel guilty. If you're a chronic avoider, and a chronic starter, then guilt's going to show up in your identity, meaning you have good intentions, but you walk up to the batting box and you walk around it and sit in the bench because you tell yourself you're not educated enough to get in the batting cage. That's what a chronic avoider do. A chronic avoider gets ready to get ready, then feels bad and feels guilty because they're not in action, they're inactive. And if you use inactive as a physical state, because emotionally you can't control the outcome, then there's a high probability you will feel guilty. When you're feeling bad, typically you're feeling guilty about what you didn't do, who's not giving you the love, who's not giving you the merit that you're seeking. And if you continue to stay in that state, you're in a very low vibrational energy state, attracting to reality people and situations to fulfill those feelings. And if you've been guilted into submission or live in shame, there's a high probability that you will attract other like-minded, passive-aggressive people to reality to fulfill your feelings that keep you overwhelmed and wondering why you do what you do. If you're in a business that's in health, wellness, and nutrition, and you continue to attract product consumers, then you say, I can only attract so-and-so. I can only attract these kinds of people. Then that becomes your reality. Your word is law, and words do not return void. When you speak into existence reality that you seek not to have happen, yet it happens, what you don't understand unconsciously is how powerful your word is. It means that in that gap and a delay in your communication style where you check out, hesitate, levitate, medicate yourself neurochemically, you'll attract the people who continue to disappoint you. But if you're one of these people that say, I can't attract, I can't find, all the people I attract are only, then you'll attract your reality, your expectation. Your personality is a direct reflection of your personal reality. So your personal reality is a direct reflection of the events that shaped your feelings. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that you either do know of or don't know of, people say, well, how do I let go of what I don't remember? Well, the question is, why don't you remember what you don't remember? When you keep telling yourself you don't remember, then obviously there's a situation you repress. And when you repress an event, it means you want to stay in denial of the event, because once you start to understand the event, it creates a different responsibility, i.e. ability to respond. Responding is a reflex. Reacting is a checkout reflex. When you're in your body, then you're in a whole different emotional state. When you have a better understanding of cause and effect, then you won't try to control the situation. A lot of your guilt is about being controlled or being out of control or being controlling. When you have to control someone else's actions or feelings, or you're worried about someone else's feelings, then you typically are coming from being in control. And that type of in control keeps you out of control. And that out of control that you're in control of controlling now overwhelms you neurologically, neurochemically, where your body will begin to secrete a series of biochemicals that eventually end up being cortisol. And it's that cortisol feeling that you create that creates the fight or flight situation that keeps you avoiding, chronically starting and never finishing, and wondering why someone else is getting the love, why someone else is getting the recognition. I went to an event over the weekend and I saw this woman. She really doesn't have much of a personality. I can't believe she's an XYZ star. I cannot believe it. Well, you don't know the whole story. This is why you never prejudge someone. This is why you don't know the whole story. You may see the glory, but you don't know the story. You don't know what someone else went through to get there. Some people are in the right place at the right time. They're able to recognize it. Some people have the ability to attract to their reality one or two like-minded individuals that can produce. And if you're not attracting people who can produce, a large byproduct of it is going to be your direct reflection with your inability to ask the questions, your inability to feel comfortable with receiving and deserving because of your emotions of guilt. And until you let go of feeling guilty about being prosperous, being wealthy, attracting money, creating prosperity or reciprocity, and if you also feel guilty about not being good enough. Now, this is a very common commonality. I'm not sure if I can is a very common statement. I'm not sure if I can keep success. I'm not sure if I can lead someone. I'm not sure if I can teach someone. I'm not sure if I'm not sure that I'm not sure that I'm not sure of. Well, this emotion is often about guilt. Too guilty to be able to lead because I'm not good enough. If you're not good enough, that's going to be a direct reflection of the events that you continue to hold on to. But what if you don't know what you're holding on to? You do, because you're the only one who lived in your body. You know what went on in your life, but it require you to let go of control of being in a repressed emotional state so you don't have to have the responsibility to change. What a lot of people avoid is responsibility. Responsibility, very simply stated, is the ability to respond, the ability to react. It is a reflex. The more you let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed, now you can step into an emotional body that's relaxed. But until you let go of your denial meaning I don't know why I do what I do, I can't believe this happened to me, and when you stay in denial, then you will consistently relapse. You will be a chronic relapser back into emotional state that could lead to a physical relapse that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. Guilt has been used to control not only you, but it's been used to control a society. Certain religions, without naming any, have used guilt to persecute their parishioners. Certain religions use guilt to bring their flock in. Certain religions have used guilt, and not all religions do this. It's not a black and white world, but be clear on some of the situations that you've seen where religion and control has been used to guilt people into submission. Governments have also used guilt to have people give up their possessions. It's also been used with force to give up possessions in situations like this so that there's an equal society. Well, societies are not created equal because societies are filled with people who have brilliance. And if all the money were given back to a government, then it was dispersed back to the populace in a relatively short period of time. The people who were skilled at creating money would find ways to recreate it or create prosperity. Prosperity being i.e. in the flow. When you're in guilt, you're unequivocally not in flow. You're in the lowest vibrational energy, starting around 25 cycles a second, graduating all the way up to about 100 cycles a second. When you're coming from that type of emotional, energetic vibration, you'll attract to your reality people who you can enable, people who will disappoint you, people who will violate you, so you can feel guilty. And how do I let go of guilt? You let go of guilt by deciding to. You decide that the pain is great enough, decide that you're ready to let go. When someone says to you, you make me angry, you ruin my life. Well, let's take a look at that. That person is using guilt to control your emotional state. You make me feel mad. Well, actually, in reality, no one's making anyone feel anything. You feel mad. My friend Pat Masidi had a great statement. Pat is one of the top inspirational speakers in Australia. Pat said when people spit on you, they don't spit on you to make you mad. They spit on you to make you wet. You get mad. When you get mad at events that shape your feelings, then you'll stay overwhelmed. That kind of energy takes you to a very high frequency of anxiety. The highest frequency of anxiety is anger. And when you get angry and then you blow your top, you make a fool of yourself, typically that's when you feel guilty. Then you feel at rock bottom. You feel overwhelmed in a very low emotional state. And you stay there, ITT, in the tank. Guilt can also lead to acute depression because of situations they did. I feel so bad about what I did. And that's unfortunately what many people do. Many people avoid failing. That's the story they have. So they won't feel guilty about it. So that means they'll spend more energy not failing than they'll spend energy learning the skills, the emotions, the habits of success. Success is an identity. Success is an action. Success is a feeling. Success is another emotion. When you feel successful, success is a feeling. It's not something you do. Success is something you be. When you start to identify with being successful, and you start to be successful, and you start to stay successful, then you lose a lot of your time wasted in being overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you're typically in any one of the emotional states: anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. 2 out of 5 men, 3 out of 5 women have had some kind of sexual action that overwhelmed them. Molestation, traumas, incest, any of these situations that happen. Oftentimes, a child will go into shame or an outer body experience based on one of these events. Oftentimes, this person will go into an outer body experience, check out, and never come into their body, repress the event, stuff the event, not share the event because of the shame created. And then that shame that's lived in becomes guilt and shame. It becomes a very overwhelming neurochemical state that you begin to live in a very repressed state. Oftentimes we can forget those events that happened, and we repress them down, but our unconscious, which is our Akashic record, which takes a record of every event that's ever happened, remembers it. We may forget it, but we know it unconsciously. And it's that unconscious connection that creates the mixed message when it comes to the law of attraction. As you begin to let go of the events that no longer serve you, as you're able to separate yourself emotionally from the events that shaped your feelings, and you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped those feelings. And when you live in one of these states, if you've been violated, taken advantage of, or any multitude of situations, there's a high probability when you get a job, you will over-obligate yourself. Then you will get taken advantage of. You'll work extra time, overtime, you'll do more than others, and then you don't get compensated for it because unconsciously you're not good enough. You don't ask for the raise, you don't ask for the pay grade raise, you don't ask for situations because of your own uncomfortability associated with guilt and shame. As you begin to let go of these events that no longer serve you, as you're able to address the people with yourself through either writing a letter, through either letting go, forgiving, through counseling, through coaching, or through your own meditation or any multitude of situations that allow yourself to separate your feelings from the event. Events happen. Events shape feelings. But events no longer have to be your identity. As you begin to let go, letting go means it's a non-physical, non-linear situation. You'd have to stop asking yourself this one key question that you ask yourself over and over to intoxicate yourself: how do I? Many of my clients will say, I watch three of them say, I know you don't like it. I know you don't like the how do I's. Actually, it's not that I don't like how do I. It's that how do I typically doesn't give you a result. How do I is your left brain, your analytical mind, your monkey mind that wants to know a recipe. You learned that in the educational system in your left brain. You want a blueprint. You want someone to tell you what to do. I'd let go if someone would tell me how to do it. I will. You let go by separating your feelings from the events. You let go by taking a deep breath and using any words to affirm that you're no longer the mind-body connection to those events. You can use release, I'm letting go, whatever affirmation you choose. There's no magic in the words. There's no magic in the magic because it's not magic. It's a skill. As you become skilled at letting go, you're separating yourself from the events that used to be your identity. This explains how addiction can be conquered. You can't conquer an addiction until you step out of the denial of the addiction. As you begin to become honest, rigorously honest, as you let go of denial, when you know you're doing things wrong, and you know I'm talking to you, when you know you're doing things you shouldn't do, but you keep doing them, that's an addiction. When you're neurochemically addicted to a situation and you don't know how you got where you got there, that's an addiction. When you're not hungry but you're overwhelmed and you go to the refrigerator and you eat things that you shouldn't eat, or you go to the pantry, or you go to a drawer, or you lie to your significant other, your spouse, you tell your spouse you're going to go down and get a drink of water, but you end up in the food storage locker, you end up in the refrigerator, then on the way back up the stairs, you got a little secret, you feel guilty about being a pathological liar. See, this is how guilt gets formed. It gets formed in many shapes, many forms, and many formulas. But if you're an addict, it means that you're going to be pathologically lying to yourself and others, because you got to cover up your addiction. And when you're covering up an addiction, now you're lying about it. You're hiding it. You're sneaking it. You're sneaking it into the covers. You're sneaking it in cabinets. You're sneaking it in the house. When you have to, you're sneaking the wrappers out. You're sneaking the bottles out. You're sneaking these situations out. You're covering your trail with the compulsive spending you've did. You're tearing up the bill so your significant other doesn't do it. You get a different mailing address. See, all these situations, I've done them. Every situation I just covered, I've done every one of them. I'm a recovering pathological liar, a pathological sneak. I've lived in an overwhelmed state, lying to myself. I've wondered how I got where I got to, blacked out hundreds of times, not remembering things I did at that point. Now that I've started to really tap into my memory and started to understand the quantum field, the Akashic Records, and I've started to study some of the greatest writers and speakers on the brain, John Assaraf, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, who wrote the book Biology of Belief, Fred Alan Wolf, who was featured prominently in the movie What the Bleep. Any multitude of these speakers who really understand cause and effect, why we do what we do. Louise Hay is another brilliant person that you unequivocally should be reading. I picked up her first book, You Can Heal Your Life. I picked that up in 1988, in my first year of sobriety. I also read frequently John Bradshaw and stayed up and watched on late night TV all of Bradshaw's PBS talks on healing your inner child, coming home. Scott Peck, Road Less Traveled. A lot of the Wayne Dyer books that I read in the late 80s, early 90s, all of these assist me to have a better understanding of cause and effect, the compounded effect, laws of attraction, why we do what we do. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your belief, shaped your identity, and shaped who you are, then you can separate yourself emotionally from those events, meaning you're letting go. You can't let go what you're not aware of. You can't let go while you're in denial. And you're not going to teach yourself how to be a practicing addict. That's interesting. I've seen many people teach themselves. They're going to teach themselves how to be a recovering food addict. They're only going to eat certain foods on certain holidays. Well, that's like saying, I'm only going to drink Jim Beam when Mercury's in retrograde. I'm going to teach myself how to drink. You can't teach yourself how to be an addict. You have to let go of being an addict. When you try to control the control that keeps you out of control, you'll end up disappointed and guilty. is you begin to let go, and letting go is a skill. Letting go is a very underdeveloped, misunderstood topic, much like guilt. No one writes on it. Guilt's a feeling. Guilt's an emotion. Guilt's disappointment. Guilt's feeling bad. Guilt keeps you doing the same thing over and over. Guilt is depression. Guilt is an addiction. Guilt is pleasure for pain. It's instant gratification for future pain. And the backside of the future pain is guilt. You feel guilty you have a hangover. You feel guilty you lied to. You feel guilty that you missed work. You feel guilty that you didn't produce. You had a good intention and a poor habit. A good intention and a poor habit is a mixed message that leads to guilt because you didn't do what you committed to doing. When you are G-A-T, guilty all the time, then you'll find ways to create guilt. You'll be guilt. You'll be guilty. You'll attract people who make you feel guilty. You make me angry. I don't make you anything. You're angry. You make me this, whatever. When someone says that, they're using guilt to control you. I can't believe you're quitting your job. Why can't you believe it? I can't believe you're in one of those things. That's, once again, someone putting you in a position that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. If you're an addicted explainer, validator, and justifier, that means you live a large percent of your life in guilt. I frequently ask this question when I'm doing 15-minute coaching calls or coaching calls, especially with new clients. Do you remember the question I ask you? Here's how this plays out. I have coached over 60,000-plus hours, 11,000-plus clients. I routinely coach anywhere from 12 to 13 hours a day, Monday through Wednesday, 11 hours on Thursday, a couple hours on Friday, a couple hours on Sunday when I'm available. I routinely coach 50-plus hours a week. I've been doing it for over 18-plus years. So it's very common that I'll ask someone a question. They go into a drunk-a-log, a story-a-log. They lose sight of the question. They open mouth. They start talking. Now, what I typically point out to these people is how this happened. There's a cause and effect situation why you're an addicted over-obligator, explainer, justifier, and validator. If you grew up with someone who was passive-aggressive or someone you couldn't please, there's a high probability that they would ask you a series of questions to put you in a position that you have to explain yourself. When you're explaining yourself and you don't explain yourself to the expectations that you can't fulfill, then the person you're explaining yourself is disappointed. Then you're disappointed, you feel bad, you feel guilty. Now, when this becomes an identity, this is why you'll talk too much. This is why someone says to you, yeah, tell me all about this business, and all of a sudden you open mouth and you're telling about the business. Instead of saying, when someone says to you, tell me about the business, you'd say, I'd love to do that, but what I could do would be better for you is I can direct you to a video that's about 13 minutes in length. Do you have a pen? Instead of talking and explaining, you have to learn how to ask. But if you've been guilted into talking, then you'll talk automatically, autonomically, without any bullet points, without any periods in your sentences, and you'll go on and on and on. But when you're skilled at this, you'll be able to diplomatically cut people off by using your first name and saying, excuse me, do you remember the question I ask you? Now, if you think that's rude, that's because you're guilty. If you think confronting someone is going to get you in trouble, that's because you have guilt associated with the past event that has you feeling in a very weak emotional state, and you're afraid you're going to get in trouble. When you live with this anxiety about being in trouble, you're in guilt. When you live with an anxiety about being judged, you're in guilt. When you begin to let go of these feelings and let go of the people who shape these feelings, and you no longer let people guilt you when you take a stand, here's often what will happen. These people that have used guilt to control your whole life will say things like, I'm not sure if I like the person you're becoming. Well, you'd learn to say, if you were sure, who do you feel I'm becoming? When someone says to me, why do you live in Stockton, California? And I say, where should I live? I'm addressing the passive-aggressive personality who's putting me in a position to validate, explain, justify why I've chosen to live in the city I'm living. Now, there's two ways they do it. When someone does it hostily, that's a passive-aggressive situation. But when someone does it diplomatically, that's someone who's curious or inquisitive. That means that you have to be able to separate fact from fiction, no longer be in an emotionally overwhelmed state, afraid you're going to get in trouble so you can be disappointed and feel guilty. When that's the situation, when you live in that situation, there's very little margin for success. There's only margin for failure, avoidance, and chronic procrastination. And if that is you, isn't it time you let go? When you begin to let go, you're no longer connected to the events that shape the feelings. When you let go, you'll attract your reality, people and situations that you can collaborate with more frequently that are of like mind. As you let go of the events that shaped your feelings, you're starting to recondition your neurological network of neurons that wire and fire together so that you're no longer connected to a past event that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. This will show up in your law of attraction. You'll attract your reality, people and situations, from your own familiarity. You'll attract people to reality from the words you use. You'll attract people to reality the way that you operate emotionally, neurologically, and neurochemically. If you have gaps and delays in your communication style, then you'll have challenges creating clarity. If you're not clear, you're vague, and you're vague, you'll use words like kinda, sorta, I don't know, and I guess. Now, who are you going to attract when that's frequently used in your communication style, kinda, sorta, I don't know, and I'll guess? You'll attract like-minded success seekers like you, starters who can't commit, starters who can't finish. What does that lead to? It leads to disappointment and guilt because you failed. When you have anxiety about failing, you'll avoid the process and continue to get ready, seducing yourself that there's going to be a mythical, magical day when it all, well, someday it goes away. Guilt is associated with feeling bad. Now, why should you feel bad? Feeling bad is because you don't want to disappoint. When you're no longer connected to disappointment, then you won't be disappointing yourself and others. Disappointment, when you're addicted to disappointment, it means that you avoid. You chronically avoid, and you tell yourself you don't want to fail. By not wanting to fail, what you're really saying is, I don't want to change. If you don't want to change, what it really means is you don't want to let go of your ego, or you don't want to let go of the people from your past who are in your present. And if you continue to let those people use guilt to control you, then you'll tiptoe quietly through life, arrive at your grave safely, and die the greatest pain, the pain of regret and the pain of guilt. Now, when you've suffered enough, you no longer want to be this situation, how do you change? You change by being in your power. In your power means you're no longer using force or letting other people force you into being their counterforce. The passive-aggressive people that put you in a position to justify and explain yourself are using you to fulfill a neurochemical addiction that they're addicted to. They're addicted to putting people in a position where they can be an emotional, spiritual vampire. And when you partake in these types of situations, then you are unequivocally robbed of your energy, and that's when you'll say you're exhausted. When you're exhausted, your body craves a pick-me-up. Caffeine, alcohol, nicotine, shiny object syndrome, a purchase online, a purchase from a store, anorexia, bulimia, or any of those pleasure for pain, instant gratification situations that give you a neurochemical dopamine injection followed by a cortisol drop to the bottom of the basement where you feel guilty and ashamed. Pleasure for pain is instant gratification for future pain. That's unfortunately what a large percent of society does to fulfill their disappointment. This is why it's also very important that you learn to understand that your dialogue with money is either going to be conducive to attracting the people you can create it with, or your dialogue with money will continue to attract the people you can feel guilty about. And if you attract all these people and no one produces, well, that's going to be a direct reflection of your energetic state, meaning that in your law of averages, it means that you're skilled at attracting a certain kind of people who cannot rise above your control. When you stay in control of your control, then you control the outcome. And if the outcome that you seek is to be disappointed consciously and unconsciously because you have anxiety about being successful and then being disappointed and avoiding failure is all I know, well, that's exhausting. That's what many people do. They stay in an overwhelmed, exhausted state. And you'll have many teammates are like this, and it's important you understand to separate fact from fiction, meet people where they are, and don't create expectations that someone can't fulfill so you can be disappointed. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to these events that shape your belief, your feelings, your emotional state, your dialogue with receiving, asking, and deserving, then you're in the process of transformation and change. Change is not hard, change is change. Change is not hard, change is new. changes a new identity. What are my friends and family going to think? I don't know, because you haven't reached there yet. They're going to do whatever they do because they are who they are. When you let go of your worry about situations that haven't happened, then you won't be overwhelmed. When you let go of what you can't control and you stay in command of a new set of emotions, then you're no longer that mind-body connection based on past associations with guilt and shame. When you let go of your anxiety about being rejected, I don't like no's, I don't like rejection. Well, people don't reject you. Typically, people aren't interested. When you can separate fact from fiction and understand who's a success seeker and who's someone who has no identity with success, then you can let go of people relatively quickly without feeling guilty, without wondering in your head what you should have done, without being overwhelmed. When you can be that kind of entrepreneur, then you are actually in your power. And when you're in your power, you stand alone. You don't require other people to give you input, because you become the answer. And when you're the answer, you don't have to ask other people for the answer, because now you live in a no state, not an N-O state, but a K-N-O-W. When you break down the origins of your anxiety and you understand that guilt has been an identity and you're no longer going to get in trouble and you're no longer going to be controlled by guilt, and you're not going to let other people make you angry or ruin your life or rain in your parade, then you can let go of the feelings and the events associated with guilt. When you start to change your energy associated with guilt and shame, then you're no longer in anxiety. As you move away from anxiety and let go of your doubt, then you'll live in a different emotional state called no, K-N-O-W. When you're in a no state, now you're in an intuit state. You're able to tap into your intuition. When you're no longer a mind-body connection, now you are the mind and the body. Then you are one, you are whole. You are grounded. You are one with. You are innate. Then there's no separation between you and the outcome you seek. But when you hold on to the past, then there's no separation between the events that you seek to let go of. But when you keep telling yourself, I don't know, how do I? Well, you can't let go of what you keep telling yourself you don't know how to do it. When you continue to overwhelm yourself with the how do I's, then that keeps you from being in the why don't I. When you have a reason bigger than your problem, and I'm going to address this, the whole concept of why, your why doesn't have to be so big that you jump out of bed and you're right into your why. If you have that, there's nothing wrong with that. But your why can also be very simple and very subtle. Your why can be as simple as, I want to create more money than I've ever created before. Your why can be, I want to quit my job. Your why doesn't have to mean you're going to build a village in a foreign country. It doesn't mean you're going to build an orphanage. Although if you want to build an orphanage and that's your why, that's completely your choice. But that doesn't have to be everyone's choice. Your why doesn't have to be something philanthropic. Your why doesn't have to be about money. Your why has to be your why. But your why, there also has to be a connection to your why. But if you're disconnected from your why, it's because you're disconnected from yourself. It means you're not feeling, you're thinking. And when you live in your analytical, egoic mind, your left brain, and you process, and you have to know all the answers before you start, you're overwhelmed before you begin. And when you squint and keep saying, I don't know, I don't understand, how do I, well, that keeps you in a safe place called your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is your failure zone. And when you're comfortably overwhelmed, then there's no way for you to be able to attract people in situations that you can collaborate with. When all you can attract is other little old me's like you, when you continue to attract people like yourself, you don't want people like yourself unless you're highly inspired. You want people who can rise to the occasion. You want people who have whys bigger than their problems. You want people in your circle of influence who have compelling reasons to change. You want people who can foster change. You want people who are inspired. You want people who have influence, affluence, who can bring to the table a set of skills and a set of emotions that most of society does not have. That is called the law of the few. But when you live in the law of the herd, the law of the many, then you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of guilt, shame, resentment, and overwhelm that keeps you in a very low vibrational state wondering, how do I? When you're no longer the mind-body connection to how do I, the analytical egoic mind, the left brain that reads left to right, that has to have the emotional blueprint, the physical blueprint, it has to be scripted, Communicating with people is not about being scripted. Communicating with people is about connecting. When you can ask connecting questions in a sequence, when you can create a very relaxed interview, then there's no pressure on you. Pressure is an illusion. And oftentimes, if you don't reach your goal because you made it so big, then you feel guilty. And if you're one of these situations, one of these people, then I suggest tonight you let go. Letting go is not a how do I. Letting go is a skill. Letting go is a decision. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is a deep breath you take that releases the anxiety you're in. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, you have a better understanding of why you do what you do. As you have a better understanding of the events that shaped your feelings, then you're no longer beginning giving other people power. When you let go of the perpetrators who violated you and you begin to forgive yourself and forgive them, then there's no control. You're not in control. You're not out of control. You're in objectivity. When you're in objectivity, you're in awareness. When you're in awareness, you're changing your emotional state. Your emotional state changes your energy, and then people mythically, magically show up. The people who show up when you're in guilt and shame are the violators and perpetrators and other like-minded addicts who show up to fulfill your low self-esteem. But when you're no longer that mind-body connection based on a violation that no longer serves you, or you're no longer that mind-body connection to a set of parents or a parent or a brother or a sister who taunted you, took advantage of you, picked on you in the playground, any multitude of situations, when you can separate your feelings from those events, then you can attract your reality a different type of person that you can collaborate with. As you let go of over-obligating yourself based on guilt, if you grew up in a family where you had to take on a role as a grown-up, oftentimes it's out of guilt. When you've been guilted into taking a grown-up, taking care of a grown-up because the other grown-up decides not to take care of them, they use you to fulfill their role, then your innocence got robbed. When you have to be a parent before your time, your innocence got robbed. When you've become that kind of caretaker, there's a high probability that that is your identity. And when your identity is that of being overwhelmed, then it relegates you to who and what you can attract. See, when you understand why you're guilty and you let go of guilty, when you let go of guilt and you become free of guilt, not guilt-free. Guilt-free is a hyphen. Free of guilt is a very clear set of boundaries. When you start to have boundaries where you're not over-obligated. Now, if you're an addicted over-obligator and it's chronic, it's typically because of how you got guilted as a child to do more than someone else did. If you had to take this role on and you're addicted over-obligator, it means you're going to have challenges setting boundaries. When there are no boundaries because of how guilty you are, then you'll say yes, yes, yes to everything and have challenges saying the two-letter words that is a sentence, no. No is a sentence just like why is a question. No is the only word that is a sentence. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, as you start to find and be in your power, when you can stand alone without anxiety, when you don't need someone else's support, or you don't require someone else's approval for your identity, then you're in power. Power is clean. Power is pure. Power stands alone. When you're in power, you're not overpowering. When you're powerful, you're not overpowering, meaning that you don't have to control the situation. When you're not shooting people, telling them what to do, when you can suggest what people should do, or you can give them insight or direct them, that is power. But when you're feeling angry about why someone didn't do what they did, well, that's a different kind of control that you're in. And that control is going to lead to disappointment, possibly guilt and shame, which will keep you overwhelmed neurologically in a constant state of disappointment because people don't perform to your expectations. When your expectations are so high that you have no peace, then you'll collapse when you live in this kind of, that's a lot of pressure. When you live under pressure, in pressure, when you operate when you're best, when the back's against the wall, that's a myth, that's a lie, that's not really true. You don't operate the best when your back's against the wall. In reality, you operate the best when you're in a very relaxed emotional state. When you're grounded, when you're innate, when you're in your power, when you're in your flow, when you're not concerned with the outcome and you meet people where they are, you don't tell yourself stories about situations that haven't happened, and you don't say, I hope this doesn't happen to me. When you do that, you just jinxed it and cursed it because you spoke into existence the very situation you sought to avoid so you could be guilty and disappointed. As you begin to let go of these entities and energies, as you begin to let go of the people and situations, as you know longer the mind-body connection connected to people who use guilt to control you, then you can confront the situation diplomatically. But if you have challenges in confrontation, you can have challenges confronting yourself while you live in denial, tiptoeing quietly through life where you can arrive at your grave safely, the pain of regret. As you begin to let go of those feelings, then you can start to be in power. When you're not guilty about asking someone a question, you're also not saying sorry all the time. Sorry, 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 I didn't mean to offend you. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, sorry, what are you sorry for? So many people use the word sorry in their language structure like it's a word that's really of power when it's really a word of no power. When you're a chronic apologizer and a chronic starter and not a finisher, there's a high probability you're going to be tiptoeing quietly through life, wondering where your life went. And, you know, now is now. The Power of Now was written by the great Eckhart Tolle several years ago. It's unequivocally a book you deserve to have in your possession. It's not a book you read from cover to cover. It's a book you reflect on. It's a book that you stay in the book. The same way with many books by Dr. Joe Dispenza, David Hawkins. These are books that truly will enlighten you and empower you, but you'd have to let go of the guilt associated with being successful. If you feel that success is going to corrupt you, then you're already corrupt. If you feel success would corrupt your family, then you're corrupt in your thinking process. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about money, asking, receiving, and deserving, now it opens up the portal for you to be able to attract people to reality of a different type of like mind who then will begin to show up. Leads, prosperity partners, parking spaces, situations begin to show up because you're ready. Not only because you are ready, but you're practicing readiness. You're in the flow. You're in the mix. You're in the game. You're participating in the dreams of your life. You're building the foundation, the formation. You're in the process. Someone asked me recently, what does the process look like? Well, the process doesn't look like it looks because it has no looks. The process isn't good looking or bad looking. The process is the process of you letting go. The process of you letting go is letting go one day at a time until letting go becomes a habit. You're not going to relapse unless you get so overwhelmed that you have to revert back to an emotional state, pleasure for pain, instant gratification. You take that first shot, you take that first bite of food, it takes the edge off. Within a few minutes, you're feeling guilty, hiding your food, hiding your bottles. When you become rigorously honest, when you have character, class, charisma, when you start to come from this type of power, people will flock to you. They don't know what you know, but they know that you do know, and they know that you do know, they want part of what you know because you know. When you let go of what you don't know and you do know, then you're no longer in denial of what you don't know. And as you do know, then you're not separate, you're one with. Because when you know, you know. When you know that you know that you know, then I am that I am that I am. When you know that you know, you will not be denied. And when you will not be denied, then the rest of it's academic. Then you go through the process of it. When you know that, when you have that kind of centrifugal force, when you have that kind of gravitational pull, when you can create on command 2 plus 2 equals 16, 32, 64, when you can actually create a quantum leap, a sum that's greater than the whole of its part, by the person that you've become, then you're in the now, you're in the know. When you're in the now, you're in the know, you attract other like-minded in the now seekers who you can collaborate and connect with. These are the type of people who require very little supervision. These are the kind of people who are game changers. They get in the game, they master the game, and they own the game. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's unequivocally been my privilege and pleasure to host this call tonight on guilt. This call will be officially posted on Podomatic by noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in the morning. This call is officially a call. For anyone on tonight's call who is seeking one-on-one coaching and you're serious about taking your game to the next level, you want to find a little bit about my coaching services, you may contact me on Facebook, Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y, or you may call me at 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much for being on the call, and good night.